In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat if you would. When I got out of bed this morning, my wife turned to me and she said, "What's the gospel today?" And I said, "Well, it's the Feast of the Transfiguration of Jesus." And she said, "Isn't it a little bit late this year?" And I said, "But it's always on the same day. It depends when Easter is. And if Easter's late, it's late. And if Easter's early, it's early. But it's always the last Sunday before Lent begins." And we know that Lent begins this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday celebrations and services. And so it's a kind of a tease that the church does to us every year. We have these incredible readings, and oftentimes they don't fit together, but today they just like fit like a glove. We experience in the first reading Moses, like in the window, our window, coming down from the mountain, carrying the cold, hard law that was given to him by God on the mountain. And the people experiencing Moses with this light that came from his face. His face had changed, and he's bearing the gifts of the law, which were to become so important, so critical for the Hebrew community. And in following God in their relatively immature state, because they didn't know what we know, they didn't know, as it were, who we know, in their relatively religiously immature state, they were given these laws, these things we call the Ten Commandments, or the Torah, or Leviticus, which is full of all kinds of expectations of the Hebrew community. But in being given that cold, hard law, they were told, "This is your covenant. This is your covenant with your God." And it wasn't about Moses. His face was covered. It was about the law itself. It was, in some real ways, kind of impersonal. It was about, do this and you are holy. Do these things and you simply aren't. And what we experience in the gospel today is exactly what St. Paul alluded to in 2 Corinthians, our second reading. We experience a very different expression, a radical change. Just as Moses went up the mountain, Jesus went up the mountain. And that was by choice. That was to say something. And he met there Moses and Elijah, those who went before him. But Jesus' face was not covered anymore. Jesus did not come down from the hill with a veil on his face. Jesus proudly shone that God the Father had come to love God's people, had come to make the earth and the heavens one. And it wasn't about cold, hard law anymore. It wasn't about do this and you know God. It was about know Jesus and you know God. That's what was shown on that mountain. That's what all of the evangelists captured in the gospel. This incredible story of Jesus taking his place, as it were, with the Father. Of Jesus showing himself to be one with the Father. Of the Father confirming that with the same words that came out of the cloud at baptism. This, at Jesus' baptism, "This is my Son. This is my beloved. Follow him." God didn't say, "Follow a bunch of rules." God said, "Follow this Jesus. Learn to love him. Be one with him. Over your lifetime, each and every year, strive more deeply and more profoundly to have a relationship with this Jesus whose face was not covered. No longer veiled." As St. Paul says, And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, all of us are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this transforming event of Jesus, we call it the Transfiguration, this transforming event of Jesus was hidden from the crowd at that point in time. Some of the evangelists are very clear. You know, they say, and Jesus said to Peter and Paul and James, don't tell anybody. Luke doesn't phrase it exactly that way. Don't tell anybody. And so you wonder, well, what's that about? Why is it that this Jesus would be transformed in the presence of the apostles, the chosen ones? Why is it this Jesus would spend time with Elijah and Moses? Why is it that this Jesus would experience the love of the Father in his own in God's own words coming down and reaffirming that he is the chosen one? And Peter and James and John, well, they're told, just keep that little secret, will you? We ask that question, and we know the answer. We know, because next week, Jesus will be entering Jerusalem. Next week, we will be entering Lent. Next week, Jesus will be himself walking through his own passion and death in Jerusalem and being raised from the dead. And the prophet said, this will be of Jerusalem, the holy city. And we are called in our Lenten experience. We know Jesus, right? We know how the story ends. Well, I would hope you do if you're in this church every Sunday, because most of us have walked through this thing year after year after year as we walk through our liturgical year. We know about the death and resurrection of Jesus, but no one at that time did. And Jesus knew that they had to. That they had to experience his own suffering and death and resurrection. And for us, the church's tease is simply this. We know how it turns out, but on Wednesday, we're going to be asked in some ways to kind of forget that. Forget that we know the ending and somehow become dust and dirt again. In some ways in the relationship, though we can't turn it off, to start over again. To renew, to re-experience, to re-energize, to re-whatever it takes, that relationship that we have with the living God through Jesus. And the church says, kind of forget what you've seen today. Never forget your faith. Never forget the truth. But start over. Start over again. Walk down the mountain and experience Jesus' life, death, and resurrection afresh. And so, yes, this profound experience of God making the cold, hard law something that was stone and tablet and worshipped in the ark into a person. Jesus. The law now is simple to remember, the law of love, but much more difficult in many ways to understand, and calls for a whole lot more nuance. Following the Ten Commandments is one thing. Loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself is something else again. And that is what we're being called to in today's readings. Never forget who our God is, but start over as a pile of ashes with a spirit and a profound desire to experience, to remove the veil, as it were, in a way that perhaps you've never done before in your relationship with Jesus. And what does that mean for you? I don't know. But that's the cause. Then when they walked down the mountain with Jesus, that's what he said to them. Let's go. Let's start over in Jerusalem. And if you read the next scripture, you'll find out he wasn't too pleased with the reboot. And that's the way life is. And so the church teases us today into a deep understanding of what it means to be a liturgical Christian and walk on the path of Jesus, to celebrate his life year after year after year in hopefully newer and richer ways, so that we can continue to learn how to love more deeply, more profoundly. Worry less about the cold, hard law and worry or concern ourselves a whole lot more about what it means to love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen.